9, have your Bibles this morning. I'm telling you, I was struggling there for a little bit. Brother Miller got to testifying, and the joy bell started ringing in my heart. We're gonna read in Luke chapter 9 verse 57 is where we'll start at this morning. Really gonna pick up, Brother Steve, about where you was at, where you left off at, and talk about this thing of serving the Lord. I'd like to pray before we go any farther. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning. And I thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be in your house. I thank you for that little breath of heaven that passed by. And Lord, we need you today. We need you. Father, I'll just make a big wreck out of things, make a big mistake. And Father, I'm asking you, if you would, to help us now. Please do it, our hearts and our lives, what needs doing. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. If there's anything here that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you please refrain it for a few minutes? Do what needs doing in our midst. Lord, I love you, and thy will be done. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you about, here's your title, Brother Brent, Prophets, Priorities, and Plowing. Prophets, Priorities, and Plowing. And we're going to begin reading verse 57. I'm going to read through verse 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. And here's a sad thing about our Savior. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And so we have a very familiar text. In fact, I think from about verse 23 through the end of this chapter, we are looking at discipleship. And I might ask you this question before we begin our study, what is a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? If you were to take the Strong's and look at the Greek word behind that word disciple, it means learner. It means a pupil, a student. Warren Wiersbe, in his writing, says this, and I don't know where he gets this, but I assume he has read something to make him say what he said. He said the modern word for disciple, the closest word we have in our modern vocabulary, is the word apprenticed. It's the word apprentice. One who learns not just by lecture and by books, but he learns by working with his teacher on a daily, hands-on basis. And I think there's some truth. I don't know, and some of you all may disagree with this, but I don't know if any of us can learn much by simply just reading and listening to a teacher. You can read about how to fix a car, but until you've actually raised the hood and got the wrenches out and went through the process, the book's not going to do you a whole lot of good. And we could say that about a lot of things. If you were building a shed or whatever it might be, we know that the best way to learn is through experience. And that seems to be what this word disciple is about. I do believe this, and I have been challenged on it, and you may challenge me on it, but I believe there are folks who are believers, but they're not disciples. I get that from Luke chapter number 14. You don't need to turn over there, but it says this, unless whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Can't be my disciple. You can't be my learner. You can't be my pupil. You can't be my apprentice unless you bear his cross and come after me. It says this, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, here's what it says, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that we know that doesn't mean hate. We know that means our love for God ought to be so great as in comparison to our love for these other things. It might appear that way. And so we understand that, but there's some requirements that if you do not fulfill, whosoever forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. All in the 14th chapter of Luke. I wonder how many of us have put the Lord first in our lives. First in our lives. I come to this text and there's so much I want to say, and I can get bogged down if I'm not real careful. I'll get tied up. This thing of apostle, sometimes folks say a disciple and apostle, same thing. An apostle is a sent one. It's a messenger. A disciple is a student, a learner. They're two totally different things. And the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of God's people that's content just to be listeners and just to learn and never to be an apprentice. They're satisfied just to be a listener, to come in, let Brother Bud teach or their teacher downstairs teach, and let the preacher preach to them. They're willing just to soak it all in, take it all in, but never put it into practice. I don't think that defines a disciple. And so we're going to talk about this thing of discipling for a little bit, but I want to show you what the Lord showed me. I want you to notice in verse 23 of chapter 9, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Now I want you to notice there was three requirements to come after the Lord. Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily. I have heard some folks say, I just want to be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night believer. Well, you can be that. You can be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, a Wednesday night believer. But if you're really going to be a disciple, it's a daily undertaking. It's a daily matter. If you're just Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you're not a follower. You may be a believer, but you're not a follower. And you can just get angry at me. Here's what he says. If you're going to come after me, you're going to have, first of all, deny yourself, but then you have to take up his cross daily. There's your personal cross, Brother Steve. That personal work, making it personal. Take up his cross daily. That is what your Bible says, isn't it? I believe it says daily. Here's what I'm trying to say. If you're serious about serving the Lord, it's daily. And follow me. There has to be an action of following, of trying to go in the direction of the Lord is leading in. And so if you're going to come after Him, and so we see those three things, but then in our text we see three men. I want you to notice what it says. The one man, Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. There's self-denial. Deny self. And he said unto another, let the dead bury the dead, but you preach. You preach the kingdom of God. There's taking up your cross daily. You'll have that. And then here's the fellow who's looking back. And that relates to follow me. And he's looking back. I think we can see a parallel if you look at that. I want you to notice a couple of words. In verse 23 it says, if any man will. If any man will. Look in verse 57 what the man said. I will. Verse 23 says, if any man will. Verse 57 says, the man says, I will. I want you to look also, I think there's another one there if I can find it right quick. Verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will. Now, I don't think about the will, and I've shared this with several of you all because it really impressed me. Maybe I've even shared it with the church. I really can't remember. But there was a fellow who was overweight, and he drank a lot of soft drinks, and he drank regular drinks because he hated the taste of diet drinks. He hated the taste of them. But he realized what the regular drinks was doing to him, and he said, I willed that I was going to drink diet drinks. I made up my mind I was not going to let those regular drinks put that weight on me like it was doing, and even though I didn't like it, I was going to drink those diet drinks. I willed that in my mind. And he said something miraculous happened in about 4 months. Here's what he said. Those drinks I hated, I started liking. And those drinks that I did like, that I willed I wasn't going to drink anymore, I did not like them anymore. That's too sweet. They left the film in my mouth. And the point was, it started with him willing to do the right thing. That's where it started. Now, I'm not discounting the power of the Holy Spirit and the necessity. It's God that gives the increase. Now, I'm not discounting that at all. But I'm afraid we take that scripture and ride that and discount the fact that we have a will about us to do what's right even when it's distasteful to our flesh. Amen. Well, here's a fella that said in verse 20, or Jesus said in verse 27, if any man will, verse 57 and verse 61, the two men said, I will. I wonder in the spiritual realm what it is you would say, I will. I'm willing in my mind, I'm going to do that. Some of you all have willed in your mind, you're going to be faithful to the house of God. I don't have to worry about you. If you're not here, you're sick, you're a problem. Brother Bud Buchanan will be here unless something catastrophic's happened. You all know that. Do you not know that? Some of you are shaking your head. You know that's so. And that can be said about several, many in our church. Most of you, as far as I'm concerned. That can be said about you. He's willed. He's going to be faithful to the house of God, and God's helped him to do that. What are you going to put our will on? What is your will? You know what I think? I think I preach to folks a lot of times, they don't will to serve God. They don't will to go on. They don't will to get out of the comfort zone. What's your I will? They don't want to grow and mature and go forward with God. But I want to say this. Well, let me go ahead and finish. I want you to notice another word too in verse 23. And take up his cross daily and follow me. The word follow. We have the word will. He said, if any man will, and he said, I will. And take up his cross daily and follow me. I want you to notice in verse 57, Lord, I will follow. I will follow. I will to follow you. I can say it that way. I want you to notice verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. Now, if you're following somebody, you're going where you've not been. Or maybe you're going back to where you've been before. But if you follow somebody, you're not staying right where you're at. Maybe that's a good way to say it. You're not staying right where you're at. But here was Jesus' will for this second man in verse number 59 of our text. And he said unto another, follow me. And that's what God would say to us today. If Jesus was right here, here's what he'd say to you. Follow me. Now, I would like to say this, but it'd be taken out of context and misused. It's not enough just to be saved. And it's enough to get you to heaven. Don't get me wrong. I'm not throwing off on believing and being saved. But I'm saying that ought to just be the starting point of a new life. It ought to be a place where you start and you begin to follow the Lord and you end up at a different place. It is the Lord's will for you to follow. It's not the Lord's will for you to get saved and 20 years later be in the playpen, kicking spiritual playpen, kicking around. It's God's will that you go on and on and on following Him. I think that's what we can gather from this text. If we look down in verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow. I will follow thee. In verse 23 and in our text verse, we have three requirements. We have three men. There's a correlation. We see common words, the word will. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. And we see the common word follow. We come down to verse 57 through 62 and we see those same words, I will. I will. And we see the word follow three times it's mentioned. I say that to say this to you. I think from verse 23 to verse 62, we're dealing with this thing of discipleship, of going on with God, of maturing, of not staying where we're at. Some may have had a spiritual stunting in their life, and maybe for 4 or 5 years they just some way or another they just went through the motions, and 5 years down the road they're still where they was 5 years ago. Displeasing to the Lord. It's displeasing to the Lord. He wants you to go on. It's His will that you mature into the fullness of His Son. But I want you to notice this, and I don't know if I'll get much more past the introduction this morning, but I want you to notice some things that happened between verse 23 and verse 57. All of them in relation to discipleship. I want you to notice we see the transfiguration. I think really when we get down to it, I think about the purpose. I've always wondered what the purpose of the transfiguration was for. You say, why, silly? It naturally is to show the glory of God. Perhaps so. Maybe it was to encourage Jesus as He went towards Calvary. Hey, in Gethsemane, the angels did come, Brother Steve, and strengthened Him. There was a need for Him to be strengthened on the flesh side, I suspect. Maybe this was to encourage Jesus, but what I really think it was to encourage the disciples. They thought Jesus was going to set up a earthly kingdom. They thought He was going to be like King David, and Israel under His kingship was going to go out and conquer the nations and a great kingdom established. And I think what God's saying, fellas, there's going to be a kingdom, but it's a spiritual thing. He's trying to encourage them. They're confused. If you'll notice, He's told them, I'm getting ready to die. Notice verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, be slain, be raised the third day. That's not fitting their plan. They can't lay hold to that. And these are the scriptures that say they struggled with that. But I think what Jesus is trying to show them, fellas, there's a better day. I want you to know there is a kingdom. There's a kingdom coming, but it's a spiritual kingdom, not earthly kingdom. Amen. He's trying to encourage the disciples as we look at the transfiguration. They were struggling with this idea of a kingdom. In verse 46 through verse 48, they're struggling with who's the greatest. Always happens when men are working in the Lord's work. If the flesh gets in the way, there'll be a strife, whether it be singers or preachers or whatever area you're looking at. If you're not careful as you serve God, you'll end up striving. And you'll be striving because you're seeking to excel over somebody else. Not pleasing to the Lord. And so We see this in verse 46 and 48. Then in verse 49 and 50, we see a struggle between brethren who are doing things a little differently. He's trying to help them. And He says this to them, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And so He's getting those truths across to them. In verses 51 through 56, they're struggling with sinners. How many times has God's people struggled with sinners because they wouldn't do like they thought they ought to, or respond the way they thought they ought to respond? And so what I'm trying to get you to see as we come into our text, we are looking at this thing of discipleship. We're wrestling around with this thing of discipleship, and we see so many truths about discipleship. Mike could preach on every one of those, just camp out for a little while. But really the burden of my heart is verse 57 through verse 62. Here are some men. Two of them are volunteers, one of them is recruited. It may very well be we don't have the full conversation. It may very well be we're just told certain parts. But if you look at this text, we see three men and their encounter with Jesus about following Him. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you're saved this morning, but I would like to ask you this. Are you following Jesus? Are you going through the motions, or are you following the Lord? When Brother Miller testified this morning, you know what he was doing? Following the Lord. He doesn't do that as a rule. Most of the time he comes in, sits down, might testify a little bit, but I'm telling you, he followed the Lord this morning. Are you following the Lord? Are you following the Lord? This is three men and their encounter with Jesus, and the subject is about following Him. I've already told you that's what He wants you to follow Him. So many of God's people, I believe sometimes they just get in that little comfort zone and they stay right there and they never get out of it. They limit what God can do with their life. And so we come to this. I guess I ought to say it again. In verse 59, Jesus said to this man, "Follow me." I want to say again, it's God's will that you follow Him. After believing in Jesus, let me just drive this home to you. After believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved, it is God's will that you follow Him the rest of your life. The rest of your life, we're going to see that. And we can see the prerequisites to following Jesus. There has to be a will to follow Him. Many of God's people so caught up with everything, they don't even know what their will is, spiritually speaking. They may have a religious will that's contrary to Jesus. I've seen folks want to teach Sunday school that couldn't teach a lick. I've seen folks want to sing that did not have a voice to sing. And I'm not being ugly when I say that. They had a want to, but they was not blessed in that area. But it starts with a will. It starts with a want to. It starts with some commitment and some determination that I'm going on with God, whatever that might be. Here's what the man said, "I will follow you." I just wonder if you're looking Jesus in the eye, if you could say in your heart with the heart you've got now, "I will follow you." The rich young ruler couldn't say it. Of course, he's a lost man. But when Jesus said, "Hey, sell all that you have," he said, "No, I can't go any farther with you than that, than where I've come." Now that was a lost man, but can I say there's application to a spiritual man there? It starts with a will. If you don't have a will, this message, you might as well plug your headphones in. Because if you don't have a will, it doesn't matter. It starts with a will. If Alan don't have a will to make this choir the best choir it can be, Brother Alan, it never will be. God's not going to help you to make it the best it can be because you don't have a will to do so. Same thing with deaconing. Same thing with teaching. Same thing with preaching. There has to be a will to go on with God. Follow Him. It starts with a will. That's a prerequisite. And the fact of the matter is, it may be like the Diet Coke example. It may be distasteful for 3 or 4 months. It may be, you may have to say, "I know this is right. My flesh doesn't like it. It doesn't taste good to the flesh. But I'm going to do it because it's the right thing and it's healthy and God's leading me that way. But can I promise you, if you do it long enough and you're going down God's road, after a while it'll get sweet too. Brother Steve speaks about how awkward it is. Brother Steve, when I first started preaching, I wanted to, but I didn't want to. Brother Miller, maybe you can relate to that. Chad, I'm pretty sure you can. We've talked about it. Brother Joe, I don't know. But I wanted to get up, but I didn't because my flesh hated it. But I got such satisfaction from knowing I was doing what God wanted me to do that even when I failed, I'd rather fail doing what God wanted me to do, Brother Steve, than succeed in the flesh. But can I tell you, I've come to the place now I just like to preach. I just like it. Fact of the matter is, a lot of times I just have to let people have an opportunity. I always have something I want to teach or something kind of gnawing at me and pulling at me. I like to preach. Why? Because I'm following God when I do that. And there's something pleasurable about that, but not at first. Not at first. I will use some of you girls who started singing specials. And at first, and being, maybe I could use, might ought to use you and Brady because you can't get angry at me for picking on you. It was kind of hard to get up at first, wasn't it? I mean, it went against the flesh and you struggle. Probably still are nervous, but not like you used to be. Your appetite's changing just a little bit. You kind of like getting up singing for the glory of God. You see, that's what I'm trying to talk to you about this morning. You have to go on. It's after you get saved, you go on with God. And the first thing is a will. But the second thing, and you've got to do this, I'm hung up already. I can't hardly get off of this. You've got to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. You have to say, flesh, no. That's not how it's going to be. Is that not what the Scripture says? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. I'm telling you, we don't live in a self-denial world. We don't live in that world. Most of us have everything we want. Actually, we probably have more than we want. We probably, most of us need to clean out what we do have and downsize a little bit. We don't live in a self-denial world. You hear people, and I'm one of them, I just can't die successful. I just can't do this. We can. We don't. We have not grown up in a generation that was required to deny themselves. And we have no self-denial. But if you're going on with God, if you're going to follow God, you listen to me this morning. If you're going to follow God, you're going to have to practice self-denial. How long has it been when you told the flesh no? Self-denial, that's a prerequisite to following Him. Come, if any man will come after me, He said. If any man will, let him deny himself and take up. I want you to notice what it says. Take up his cross daily. His cross daily. Every one of y'all have a daily cross to take up. Brother Steve, you don't have to. You don't have to. Let Him. That means you have a choice. Hey, you have a choice in this matter. Brother Sarah, whether you want to or not, it's your choice. But God said, if you're going to come after me, take up your cross daily. Have you picked your cross up lately? Some have. Some have. Brother James, out here, Brother James, working on this, I think that's picking up your cross daily. Some of the things, and fellas that dug the ditch out here, taking up the cross. There's a day, this thing is daily, not weekly. Not once a week, not twice a week. I know I'm saying a lot of that. I'm just hammering around on these things. Because you know what? I know God's people's not meeting these prerequisites. I'm comfortable. There's a lot of God's people missing out. You daily do those things. And let me just say this. Your cross speaks of shame and guilt and suffering and rejection and mockery. But can I tell you, it also speaks of willing sacrifice. It speaks of love. It speaks of obedience. It speaks of spiritual victory. You could just preach on the cross for a little while, what it represents. And I want to say this to you. If you take up your cross daily, there's a shame in the old time way as far as being in the world. The word's reproach. There's a reproach to being an old time Christian. They're going to mock you. They're going to attack what you believe and tell you why it's archaic and it's foolish and it's not right. But here's what we do. We take up our cross daily and we follow Him. But I want to try, and really our time's about gone this morning, but I want to try in our text to look at these three men, and here's what I'm convinced of. They had some misconceptions about discipleship. They had some misconceptions about discipleship. And my, we have to kind of keep that in mind. There's two primary areas involved. When we look at these fellows, there's two areas involved. Jesus said this, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It seems as if there was finances involved there. This idea of prosperity in the religious arena. This idea of financial security and getting ahead in the area of serving the Lord. It seems that there was something this fellow had sideways about his thinking about following the Lord, and it revolved around finances. But the other two, I want you to notice what it said. The first one said, "Let me bury my father." There's your family. And the other said, "Let me bid my family." I believe it used the, it says, "Bid them farewell, which are at home at my house," which would be his family. "Let me bid my family farewell." Can I tell you two areas that will keep you from following the Lord, that the devil will use on you, is finances and family. Finances and family. And there'll be some misconceptions because they're both necessary. It's not like you can just write your family off, never have anything to do with them, and be right with God. It's not like you forget about money, set it home, quit your job, do all those things, and be right with God. It's things you have to deal with, but you have to deal with in the proper perspective. And that always makes it more difficult. If you could just shun it, just totally cut it out of your life, and that be right with God, then you could do a whole lot better. That's the thing about dieting. Is that not right? If you could just quit food in 3 or 4 weeks, your system be adjusted and you not need any food. Hey, all of us could conquer the food problem. But we have to handle it rightfully because it's an essential of life. And so are finances. And so are family. And they must be handled rightly if we're going to go on with God. And the devil knows that, and that's two areas that he knows if you're not careful, he can sway you too far in the wrong direction on. It's two areas, could I say it this way, it's two snares he has out there for you. It's two pitfalls he has for you to fall into. and they're necessary in your life. And we're going to see some little truths about that. So we see, first of all, as we get ready to approach this study, there's two areas that these three men are struggling in, it looks like. And we'll see in a general sense, and it revolves around finances and family. But they're essential. But they can also be a hindrance. And I want to say this to you. Here's the great danger. They can become more important to you than the Lord is. Your family and your finances can become closer as you seek to go on with God and go on with God. They can be a roadblock, a pitfall, a pit for you to fall into. And when you fall into it, you can't go on. And one of those pits is family, and the other's finances. We see that in the text, I'm convinced. I want to look at the three misconceptions. I was afraid I'd be too lengthy this morning, not get to my text, but there's three misconceptions these men have about following the Lord. They wanted to follow the Lord. They said, I will. Well, two of them did. Jesus told one to follow me. And he didn't say no, but he said, let me do something first. I want you to notice two phrases. In verse 59, notice the phrase, me first. Me first. Do you see it? I want you to look down verse 61. But let me first go bid them farewell. Me first. We could preach on me first for a while. That's really self-denial. That's really in the realm of self-denial. We know that. Me or you, or if you want to say myself, can never be first when it comes to the Lord's work. And if it is, you're not following Him. If you're first, you're not following the Lord. If you're first, you're not following the Lord. You say, preacher, all you said is everything we already know. Preacher, you just said, hey, I'm trying to stir up your pure minds this morning. We get dull to this. We get dull to the fact that it's a daily thing. We get dull to the fact that it should not be me first. Here's what I want to leave you with. And I'll just preach the message tonight, I guess. Here's what I want to leave you with. God wants you to be more than just saved. He wants you to grow and mature and go on with Him unto perfection. If maturity is what it means. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to get past the misconceptions that these fellas had. You're going to have to conquer these areas that I told you, that I shared with you from verse 23 to verse 57. You're going to have to get victory over that. It is God's will that you follow Him. Brady, it's not God's will for you to stay right where you're at. It's God's will that you go on. Ben, it's God's will. Nick, it's God's will that you follow Him and go on and grow spiritually. Blake, that applies to you as well. And you girls. But there's some things that has to happen. And mamas and daddies, if it takes self-denial to go on with God, what should you teach your children? Should we not be teaching them self-denial? We can call it this, self-discipline. That's the word we like to use. Or just discipline. If it takes that, why are we not training that in our children? Why are we not teaching them it's a daily thing? It's not just come to church on Sunday and live however you want through the Wednesday night and come back and then come back. Live like you want to Sunday again. know, there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of children sit on the independent Baptist pew that live two lives. They live a church life, and they live a life in the world when they're out of church. They dress like the world, they talk like the world, they go where the world goes, they watch what the world watches, and all you're doing is breeding the appetite of the world in them. They can't go on. I don't know. I hate to cut it off right now, but it'd take me another 40 minutes to preach what I've got left. But I want to ask you this question. I'll just close this. This will be my invitation. Are you going on with God? Are you following Him? What is your will? That's really what I... You know who I want to be surrounded by? People that will to go on for God. I don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of folks that's reached the promised land as far as they're concerned. They're not interested in going on. I'm going to tell you, church, if that's where we're at, I'm in the wrong place. I want to go on. I want to go farther. Will you say, preacher, have you arrived? No. Can I tell you? 1,000 times I have not arrived. I want to go on. And can I tell you, Jesus wants me to go on. And He wants you to go on. And if you're complacent, if you're contented, you know what you need to do? You need the will to set that aside and pick up your spiritual diet coat. You understand what I'm not being irreverent by that, but that ties to my example I used earlier. You need to take up your spiritual responsibility and will in your heart to do it and ask God to help you to do it. How is it with you? Well, Alan, you and Jordan come to the piano. Or Jordan come to the piano. Alan, you come with a song. I don't know. Maybe we don't even need an invitation this morning. But if God has spoke to your heart, I'm just really laying the groundwork for, I guess, tonight's message. But God spoke to your heart, would you be obedient? Would you be obedient? We'll ask Alan if you would. You sing us a verse. Anybody needs to pray, these altars are open. If not, we'll go home here in just a few minutes. Where are you at? Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? An apprentice? One who's learning by doing? Oh, my, serious business this morning. Brother Alan, sing when you get ready.